In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Spirituality and sexuality.
Tonight, I'm going to discuss with you one of the very critical issues in spiritual understanding. I'm going to discuss with you spirituality and sexuality in marriage. What kind of association between spirituality and sexuality in marriage? We'll discuss the plan of God for sexuality in marriage, the goals of God for sexuality in marriage, something about the sexuality in marriage, the process itself, hindrances which might affect sexuality in marriage, and factors which strengthen spirituality and sexuality in marriage. Is there an association? Yes. There's a clear association between the presence of the Holy Spirit and the level of sexuality and spirituality. If you are really living a holy marriage, you will enjoy a satisfactory sexual relationship in your Christian marriage. We'll discuss three issues about the plan of God for marriage. By the way, is there anybody here who is less than 18? Anybody less than 18 years old, I prefer not to attend. طبعا كل الستات طبعا ممكن. Is there any here, somebody in the women less than 18? كلكم؟ Okay.
A. Plan of God, Genesis 1:26-28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth."
So this is the first part of the plan of God. What is in it regarding, of course, God is the whole spirit, spirituality. What did he say regarding sexuality in these three verses? What did he say in these, which verse he mentioned something about sexuality in marriage? Number of the verse. What did he say? Be fruitful and multiply. And this is the first commandment given to the human race. Verse 28, chapter 1, book of Genesis. And he blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply." So the plan of God for the human race is to multiply. And he said that to Adam and Eve, and he is the one who joined them in holy matrimony in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2:24, as all the Father of the Church has mentioned. From them, St. Clement, St. Augustine, St. John Chrysostom, all of them mentioned that something is going on tonight, which is very unusual. I don't know. I know, but I don't know why. في celebration ولا هاك حفلة النهاردة نشترك مع يجروا شوية نأكلها معهم يعني. كان معهم كيكة ولا حاجة نأكلها معهم ولا أي حاجة. So God, the one who started and instituted the mystery of matrimony in the Garden of Eden, and he affirmed that in Cana of Galilee by redoing the same as those holy fathers has mentioned. So all of us believe that the mystery of matrimony started in the Garden of Eden, and by that verse, therefore man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, and be fruitful and multiply. Saint John Chrysostom mentioned number 2 in that A of the plan of God. Be aware that this holy relationship in the holy matrimony is so holy, sanctified, thoroughly pure, acceptable, and honorable to the eyes of God. It's so holy, sanctified, thoroughly pure, honorable, and acceptable to God who planned it. There are so many heresies in the history of the church in the first 5th century, which were directed to blemish this relationship in marriage. Even they tried, as I told you before, they tried in the Ecumenical Council of Nicaea to prevent those priests who are married to pray the liturgy just because they are married. And of course, this opinion was defeated in the first Ecumenical Council. Bishops all over the world who came. So, St. John Chrysostom mentioned that, and he directed us to read, as we are going to read now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3, 4, and 5. Because the Holy Spirit inspired St. Paul, who was not married at that time. Some were saying that since he was a member of the Council of Sanhedrin, all the members must be married, and maybe his wife did not want to follow him after his change to Christianity. This is a maybe. But for sure at the time, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this epistle, he was single. So these verses will read as follows. The first one, as you are going to hear now, is about affection in the marital relationship. Number two, regarding authority over our bodies in this sexual relationship in the marriage. And verse 5, the last one, regarding how to discipline ourselves in this relationship. What's meant by giving a consent? And for how long we could stop interacting in this relationship and for what reasons? And what Satan is trying to do with us. So discipline. So number one, you'll find in verse 3, the affection part. Number 2, the physical part. Number 3, discipline and the order in that relationship.
Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
Okay. I have to say them slower and I'll explain them. Because this is the core of the whole subject tonight. He started the sexual relationship by talking about the feeling, the affection. And he started giving the message to whom? To the man, to the husband. So regarding verse 3, he started by the man, husband, render to your wife affection due her. This is what she really needs in the beginning of the relationship. Please, husband, this is her need. Give her, satisfy her with affection. And also, wife, satisfy your husband. Likewise, wife, render to your husband. Nobody could jump into the physical part without the feeling, the affection part, because we are not animals. We are human beings. And we are spiritual human beings. We look to the prime needs of our mates. So why did he start with the man or by the man? Because the man sometimes forget about that. So he started by the man in verse 3, telling him, husband, render to your wife. And you, wife, it's not sufficient that he will render to you. You have to render to him to give him too. And when you are satisfied emotionally by the love of one another, you feel that you are so loved. And you feel too that Christ also loved both of you. That's why he gathered both of you in this holy matrimonial bed. Now we go to verse 4. And I prefer, before starting any marital relationship, any sexual marital relationship, before you get into that holy bed, make a sign of the cross on the bed and pray together, hands held together, that God to bless you in this relationship. And pray our Father who art in heaven. And if you are already in the middle of the night, and the desires came to both of you, so remember, the one who will initiate to mention the name of God, to whisper to himself, God bless both of us. Mention the name of God. Not to make the relationship holy, it is holy. But for you to understand that you are loved by him and he loves both of you and he is present and He is making everything holy and sanctified and honorable. And after you finish everything, you have to thank Him, because both of you have enjoyed His presence and enjoyed the relationship. Verse 4, He started by whom? By whom? Wife. Why? Because some of the wives, they feel that this is the most difficult part, the physical part, the body part. That's why He told them, no, don't fear that. Wife, you don't have any authority over your own body but for your husband. Likewise, husband, you don't have authority over your own body but for your wife. This is mutual ownership of the bodies. Who is the real owner of the body? God. And the body, if I say body, equal what? Temple of God. He is the owner. Then you are getting into the holy of holy of the relationship. Sexual relationship is regarded as the holy of holy, holy of holies of the relationship. If everything is holy, this is the most holy part. This is direct interaction, direct joining the two into one to become one flesh. You don't have any authority to say no. For both of you. And the tragedy these days is that men are saying no more than women. I don't know what happened these days. But there's no difference now. It's mutual ownership. Women and men. Unless someone is sick, then the affection part, which the feeling part in verse 3, both of them will feel that the partner is sick, is not feeling well. And because of they are so sensitive and considerate, they will not continue to verse 4. It will be sufficient for them, verse 3. Look for the halo of holiness which is around the whole relationship. His presence. He's the one who will gather the two by His hands into one in this relationship. And number 5, how to get it in order. How to discipline the relationship. Do not deprive one another except with the consent. Don't deprive your spouse from his or her right unless he or she will give the consent, that he is consenting that you will go to devote yourself for prayer and fasting and for certain time, not forever. Unless both of you want to devote yourself for fasting and the prayer, and this has to be with the blessing of the Father of Confession and the spiritual advisor and guide for both of you. And even if you commit yourself a certain time in your mental life to live the rest of your life concentrating only on God without that holy relationship. I'm insisting to say that. If you want to continue eating, but you don't want to continue that relationship, is up to you. But be careful. You have to return to it if Satan is going to tempt you because of lack of self-control. If you feel at any time that Satan is attacking you, tempting you, nothing wrong to return to your spouse and say yes. and tempted. And there's so many stories I heard from very holy, honorable fathers, like Abu Khair Ibrahim and others, about that matter. And we are going to understand that from the goals of this relationship in the marriage is not only procreation, as John Chrysostom mentioned, Saint John Chrysostom mentioned. Again, if someone wants, or the two wants, to devote themselves for fasting and prayer, and then one of them will be attacked viciously by passions of the flesh, he will burn with passions. The other spouse must feel for his or her spouse who is burning with passion. And Saint John Chrysostom mentioned, your love to your spouse, your love to your spouse will prevent him or her, will protect him or her from getting into that burning with passion and lusting over something by his mind. Why? Because love supersedes much higher than prayer and fasting. Love is God Himself. You want to protect your spouse. Even if he wants to commit, or she wants to commit herself for, say, 5-7 days, and then in the middle, he or she found himself unable, nothing wrong. And be guided also by your father of confession. These are three verses, are jewels. St. Paul mentioned them. And actually, in secular marriage counseling, we are following the same order. Christian marriage counseling, we are following the same order. Affection, followed by the physical part, and how to arrange it. And we don't impose on somebody or deprive someone from his or her rights. We don't have that right to do that. It's a need. And it is so holy. If we fast before the communion 9 hours, we want our mind to fast, our heart to fast, our stomach to fast, all our organs and body to fast in preparation for the communion. Not because eating and drinking is unholy, but we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. Eating and drinking is holy. The sexual relationship is holy. But we are fasting for a certain time in preparation for the Holy Communion. We stop the biological functions in preparation for the Most Holy to come into us. Now, what are goals? Number one, unity. Number one is unity. And this is what God has said. And the two shall become one flesh. And I mentioned yesterday, it is the interweaving of two spirits. Two minds and two hearts and two bodies together. The interweaving. This unity is a perpetual process of interweaving of the two. Something perpetual. This is the main goal. To make the two one. Whether you have children or not. Whether it is the procreation or not. procreation in the Catholic Church is number one goal. In the Orthodox Church, it's number two. It comes after unity. Now, goal number three. God has instituted and created this relationship to be enjoyable. Could we enjoy that? Of course. We enjoy everything God gave us in holiness. Actually, in first, we read together, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, that God gave us everything with richness to enjoy. As long as He is in anything, we have to enjoy it. And He created certain organs. The only function of it is to enjoy. Nothing wrong is to enjoy. And you have to admit to Christ, thank you. Because of your presence, I have enjoyed this relationship with my spouse. Thank you for your presence. After you finish with the relationship, it is enjoyable. Why I'm saying that? Because some have learned by a mistake that if you enjoy it, it will be a sin. It's only for procreation. No, it is an enjoyable interaction in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And they asked St. John Chrysostom, how about if there is no child? How about if the reason is not for procreation? He said, still, it is for unity. I'm not saying it is a must that you have to do it. If you want to stop it, it's up to both of you. But be under supervision of Father of Confession. And I'm seeing here, and I'm only responsible for what I'm saying. God created that not only for procreation. It's for unity. And He made that enjoyable. Or else, the church, if there is no ability to procreate from the beginning, the church is not going to join the two into that mystery of holy matrimony. If the only goal is procreation. Or if we will find that the two are accepting one another and they know that they are not going to procreate, I mean to get children. Even if they accept, they should say no, because the only goal is procreation. This marriage cannot be. No. Still our church accepts. Because it's not the only reason for marriage. And as I told you, this relationship, you will find two parts of the intimacy in it. Actually, you could have the four. You could have the spiritual, you have the communication. During it, you have the emotion, and you have the physical part. This sexual interaction. The children are out now? Or are still here? No, I don't want any child to be here in this part coming. So God has created certain parts of our bodies, their function only is enjoyment. Anyone who studied biology, he knew that. And He supplied these parts by certain sensations, which is only for enjoyment. Certain specific sensations, specific nerve supply, for that reason. He is the Creator, He did that. And always I ask myself, and even St. Augustine asked the same question for himself, why God, you wanted to be that physically intimate? Why did you create a vagina? It could be procreation could be achieved easily if the uterus was outside between the thighs and the man just drops or drips fluid into the cervix of the uterus, and even labor would be much easier. Why did you create a vagina? Because I want it to be. There is no function for the vagina except for the ultimate physical intimacy. This is His plan, and this is His goal, to be enjoyed to the fullness, and you thank God for that. The encounter itself, we look for, number one, something called the time, then the love. What's after the love? Understanding. And then goals. The process itself, as it is planned by God, it has four phases. Each one is timed, and God is in it. The main organ for sexuality is between your ears. It's not between your legs, it's between your ears. The desires are here. And if that one is so holy, your desires will be holy, not lusting something undefiled or someone who is unholy. So you have the four phases, the arousal phase, and the swelling phase, or the erection phase, and the orgasmic phase, and the phase number four, the decongestion or relaxation phase. And this is for both the man and the woman. But there is a difference in the timing, which means the woman takes longer time for phase one, which is the arousal. She needs 1 Corinthians 7 verse 3 more than the man. She needs that part for 15 to 30 minutes at least. When she feels that she's so loved, she's number one in the heart of her husband, nothing is clouding that love, then she could go into phase two of that cycle, in which there will be swelling of the organs and lubrication. And verse 3, which is the orgasm, follow phase number 2, which is the ultimate end of the physical intimacy, when the two organs interact together, the two bodies interact together from head to toe. It's not genitalia versus genitalia. Is not 2 inch by 2 inch. And then that feeling of relaxation start in phase number 4 with decongestion of the whole organs and the need or the feel that we want to relax and sleep. That's normal. So be careful about the difference in timing. For phase one, which is the arousal, it takes longer time, of course, with women. And unfortunately, as I'm going to mention in the hindrances, Satan is for the plan of God from the beginning. satanic war number one for singles and married Christian now is unholiness. Unholiness. Especially polluting the mind with unholiness through pornography. And once you are in that area, your life will be polluted. I'm saying your life, not only your mind or your marriage. Your life, it affects your life. As I'm going to mention, your life will be sexualized. And your feeling, your personality, the way you deal with everything will change if you are in or on pornography. This is number one satanic war, the unholiness of the mind and the body for the Christians. So be real careful. Why I'm saying that now in that issue? Because they don't mind the time. They don't mind 1 Corinthians 3, 4, or 5. They don't mind except their own lust. And even with their spouses, they are thinking of what they are seeing or they have seen on the screen. Somebody else. They are interacting with somebody else, not their spouses. This is mental adultery. They are living a life of adultery. And it needs a certain program for them to get out before you're married. And even if you're married, you have to get out of it to have to return the holiness to your marriage. And I'm saying that to both men and women. If you see your partner is involved in that, please say, I'm telling you, say no till the unholiness will get out of our marriage. I can't be a tool to be used and you're thinking of somebody else. You get aroused because of someone else, not me. Satan and other body. It is your right to tell all that kind of filth must come out of my house, because my house is for the Lord. No pornography. No X-rated movies. No X-rated magazines. Nothing like that must be at your home. Or else, you are allowing the demon of adultery to live in your homes and attack your own children. And you'll be responsible before God for that. You will be responsible before God for your children to be demonized and polluted by the same particular demon which is affecting you. It is your responsibility. There are five kinds of love. The last, fifth one is the passionate love. Before that, affectionate love. Compassionate love. These are kinds of love. You have communication. Love, communicate love together. Don't jump into the passionate love. There's something called romance. Romantic love. Some people jump into number five and leave before that the others. No. God even in 1 Corinthians 7 started by affection with the romance. And whatever is due for you as love, and it started by the needs for the wife. And after that, you'll go to the passionate love. So you have different kind of loves, but some of us will go directly to verse 4 and they bypass verse 3 in 1 Corinthians 7, as I have mentioned before. This is what I mentioned by types of love. You have to understand some biology, how God created the body of your spouse. It's not the time now. I could give you another, but this is not the time to give you something about the holy biology, how God created your biology, your organs, anatomy and physiology, the function of every part of your body, how it is holy and how Satan wants to make it unholy. The muscles, the glands, the tissues, the organs, every part, the lenses, the directions, God has engineered everything in a very perfect way, detailed, because He is the Creator. Everything is very holy and in certain area. That's why the church only accepts vaginal sex. Any other kind of sex is unacceptable. You can't procreate except through vaginal sex. Other places or other positions, I can't say unacceptable, but I'm saying sometimes the church does more. It decides divorce if you insist on other kinds other than vaginal sex, especially anal sex. It's wrong, wrong, wrong. You have to understand that this is not the plan of God. There are certain goals for the relationship. It's for both of you to feel comfortable, loved, and satisfied. Not only one. Both of you. If one of you will feel that, okay, I am satisfied, take care of yourself. This is not intimacy. This is not two enjoying together a relationship with God between them. This is not the goal. The goal is for both of you to enjoy and be satisfied. And it is a relationship, as I'm going to mention now. What are the hindrances? Number one of the hindrances in your handout is the satanic war to pollute, to make it unholy by setting your mind into, as I told you, through the media. The media, the talk shows, the computers, the movies, the magazines, whatever, if you are unholy, admit that I and you are weak and vulnerable. Whatever comes to your subconscious will not come out of your subconscious. Ever. If you have seen one porn scene, you remember it for years and years. I challenge you if you could take it out even by surgery from your subconscious. Nobody could take it out. I'm still insisting to say, if my son, my only son, would ask me, I have a choice between narcotic addiction and sex addiction, I would choose for him narcotic addiction to be cocaine addiction and not sex addiction. Because it is easily treatable, cocaine addiction. But sex addiction is very difficult, very extremely difficult to be treated. But it is treatable. And they have a program for that, for anyone who wants to come and ask me. So, don't please pollute your mind by unholiness. Because your mind will continue to be all your life polluted. And you will suffer. And you pray. And still your subconscious is full with that filth. and garbage. Is it a relationship or genitalia? Do we call it genitalia versus genitalia or sexual relationship? A relationship means a relationship. It has so many parts. It has the love expressed in so many things. It involves kissing and hugging and talking and communicating and the blessing and all that. It's not 2 inch by 2 inch. It's not genitalia. Satan is trying to focus on the genitalia. But I'm telling you, it is a relationship. When you get over 50 or 60, and your ability and your potency will get less, and sometimes your desire will get less, still you could have a relationship. And the relationship is still enjoyable and holy and sanctified, thoroughly pure and acceptable to God. It's not at all as Satan is trying to tell you. It's not as Satan is trying to tell you by certain position or certain sizes or certain kind of enjoyment or certain duration you will enjoy. All this is a myth. It's a myth. It's not the holy relationship. You are making love, which means you are, both of you are enjoying love. It's not a marathon. It's not a race. It's not a competition. It's not a challenge. No, it is not. And you're not comparing what you are seeing on a TV or in a movie or on the computer with your spouse. If you do that, you'll get in trouble. Because nobody could compete with a fake woman or man on the screen. So be careful. If you get into that, as I said, your life will be sexualized. Which means your comments with your friends will be sexualized. Your mind, you are thinking even at your work with sexualized mind. At your lab, at your work, if you are working, say, in a laboratory, and microscopes and computers, comments between another will be sexualized. Your jokes will be sexualized. See all the advertisements, the posters, all of them are sexualized around you. Because they know that you and some of you are sexualized and you'll be attracted. Why? They are advertising for a car and on top of it someone with a bikini. Why? Why? Because you know that you are sexualized. You have a sexualized mind. So they know that some of us became sexualized. Sexualization of life. You could live without sexuality. And you still enjoy a loving relationship. But if your life is sexualized, you cannot live without sexuality. You would be involved either with yourself or with somebody else other than your spouse in an unholy relationship. If your mind is sexualized, please get out of that status of sexualized life to be a holy man again. You will be vulnerable in your life. And refer to Job 31:1. Refer to the one who was tempted by Satan the most. Chapter 31, verse 1. And see what kind of commitment he did to his eyes. Not to look on lust, a virgin or a woman, ever in his life. Or else, look for his commitment. And if I get away from that commitment, verse 9 and verse 10 in that chapter, what will happen to my own wife? What will happen to her? My own girls, what will happen to them? Go and read it. Job 31, verse, chapter 31, from verse 1 to verse 10. You will know. Now, other hindrances, I will go fast. Fears. There are certain fears for the females and for the male. Husband always fears inadequacy and hesitancy and an anxiety of performing well in the beginning of marriage, premature ejaculation. And women always fear that it is so painful and too much blood, hemorrhage will come. This is too much anxiety, and these are myths. There is no hemorrhage, just spotting, if it will happen. And it's not painful unless you are not relaxed. The pain is from the muscle. And be careful these days, certain gynecologists, just to take the money, they are claiming, you are so narrow, go for dilation. It's not true. The vagina, which allows the head of a baby to come out, is not enough to dilate for a male organ. And they give you a set of dilators and you go into that, sometimes you use surgery. Don't do that. Understand the biology first. Come and ask someone who understands. So there is no fear of pain. The pain is due to that you are contracting your muscles because of the fear. Just relax. Say that. Everything will relax. And there is no bleeding. And premature ejaculation, if you continue doing it with love and seeing Jesus in the relationship, you will get over your anxiety and everything will be alright. Treatment for premature ejaculation is to continue doing it. And after some time, it will be gone, it will be history. Other hindrances is inhibited sexual desire disorder. And this is, it's a bad news, is on the increase these days because of the stress of our life. In Christian women in the United States, it's now about 43% of American Christian women, they have inhibited sexual desire disorder. They have no desires. It's gone. They are tired all the day. They have no desire at night. Stress at work. Stress of the children. Stress, depression, antidepressant, and so many other factors. Anger, violence between both diminish the desire. How about men? American Christian men, we have 31% of them now, of men, American Christian men in the United States, they have inhibited sexual desire disorder. Because they are saying one of the countries with extreme stress is the United States. 43% means 50% merely. And this statistics was done at least 6 or 7 years ago. Stress is on the increase. To treat inhibited sexual desire disorder is much more, it takes more time and it takes more energy from the counselor than treating impotence and the fragility. There is now treatment for all kind of impotence. Impotence is a history now. There is a treatment for all kind of impotence. starting by tablet to cosmetic surgery. And there are injections, and there are certain appliances, and certain implants. There's so many, but don't say I have impotence. And of course, for men, it's much easier for impotence for women. Impotence for women is called frigidity. It is a mistake here written fragility. It's frigidity. It is a counseling therapy which deal with fragility of women. Inhibit the sexual desire and impotence, inability to engage in normal sexual relationship. Now, what are the factors which strengthen that holy relationship? Number one is prayer. You pray about it. Say, if we can't perform, hands held together, pray, God, please, you are with us. You are the main one in the relationship. Please help us. We want to perform right. Be with us. Help us. Prayer, as I told you, prayers change personalities. Prayers could help you. I assure you that. Ask for help. Counseling help. Try to know the goal, the real goal and the plan of God, which I have mentioned before. And how to perform according to the plan of God. I helped so many cases of fragility and of potency. So, strengthen yourself by spiritual life. The more you are spiritual person, the more you'll be successful in your relationship. Not the genitalia part only. I'm talking about the whole relationship. And you'll be satisfied from the beginning of your marriage to the end of your marriage. God bless you. And thank you for listening.